This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. Hello everybody, this is Mansur Danish and I welcome you all to the second webinar in the business webinar series. Inshallah ta'ala, in today's session, we will be discussing about the impact of Corona on the education and the service marketing sector. And we're extremely honored to have with us Sister Salima Musharraf, who is a lecturer at the International Open University for the Department of the Business Administration. Before we begin and before we invite her to make her presentation, I would like to remind you that the Islamic Online University, and now called the International Open University, is conducting a series of business webinars every weekend. So you can join us every Saturday as we address different issues pertaining to business and business administration and their impact on these businesses after the coronavirus. Last week, we discussed about a very pertinent topic, which was the impact of COVID in the business sector. This week, we are discussing about the service marketing sector. Inshallah, in the next week, we will be discussing about business communication. How would business communication change because of the new norm, which is COVID? And like this, we have a series of webinars which is lined up every Saturday. We will also be joined in by a special guest, Brother Ashraf Mohammadi, the director of Idafa Investments Mumbai from India. He will be speaking about Sharia compliance in the field of share markets. Many of you might be savvy investors and you would like to know about share market and investing in share market. And how do you know what is halal and what is not? We'll also be joined in by another guest, Brother Abdul Rahim, who is a farmer entrepreneur. And he will talk about how and what are the different businesses you can begin in this market. What are the new options that you have? So all of this is going to come up every weekend. Stay tuned. Follow us on the Facebook page. Do subscribe to our YouTube channel. And remember, you can visit the IOU website and check out the series of programs that we offer to you, from Islamic studies to Islamic banking and economics, to psychology, to business administration, to education, to IT, so on and so forth. You can check it out for yourself. However, now, without further ado, I would like to request Sister Salima Musharraf to make her initial presentation, and we will take the question answers, if there are any, at the end of the session. Sister Salima Musharraf, over to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakallah khair, Brother Mansur Danish, for the lovely introduction. Without wasting any time, I'd like to jump into our webinar immediately. Like Brother Mansur Danish said, I'm going to talk about the impact of Corona on education service marketing. I've been associated with the teaching field for about 2 decades now, alhamdulillah, and I've seen a lot of changes, especially during this time, during this Corona time period, where there are a lot of changes that have been brought into the is the educational system. So what I would like to discuss is basically what service marketing is, and then the impact on marketing for education. So let's start with it, with Ardwaz. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi ashabihi wa ajma'in. Brother Panchalish has already told you that we are in the business webinar series, and I am part of the Department of Business Administration. We are going to start, and we've done the introduction. We'll go on with the marketing mix and then service marketing, and then we'll discuss the impact of COVID on education service marketing, and then we'll conclude with a little bit of a Q&A session. So for those of you who might be very new to the topic, we would like to know basically what a service is. When you want to discuss what services marketing is, obviously you have to first find out what the what services actually are. So you need to know that services are those economic activities offered by one party to another, most commonly employee time-based performances, to bring about desired results. So basically, we all know about certain products. We know that there are tangible goods, and then in economics or for business, we discuss intangible products, which are the services. Now, why are services important today? Very important, because not only are most services dominating most of the economies of the world today, but you also see that the services sector is growing very rapidly. Now, obviously, based on the fact that this is growing, there is a need for people to market the products, hence service marketing. You must 60% of the gross domestic product worldwide, and it is now generating most of the new employment that is occurring in all the countries of the world, especially the developed economies. Since it's obviously such a growing field, there is the strongest growth area for marketing, and it is the services marketing becomes a very, very important part of the business processes today. Now, service marketing basically could be divided into, there is the traditional approach, and then there is the extended marketing mix. For those of you who may know about the marketing mix, we're basically talking about the basic product marketing mix. For those of you who don't know about it, the marketing mix is a term which is employed for actually marketing products from their production right down to the end consumer, using the product through promotion, through its pricing, where to sell the product, etc. So these four: product, pricing, promotion, and placement, basically form the traditional product marketing mix. With services, there's an extension in the marketing mix, which is the people, process, and the physical evidence. Now, what are the 7 P's of marketing, and why are they needed? I just told you what the 7 P's are. They're generally called the 7 P's because of, obviously, their first letter starting with P. The need for the extension is because of the high degree of contact between the service providers and its customers. You know that people are obviously consuming services. It's not like a good which you consume and there is the end of it. What happens is that for services, there needs to be a direct contact between the producer and the customer, and therefore it's a very highly visible nature of the services product. There is a very, it's very evident the kind of services that need to be provided. And because of the fact that there is a simultaneity of the production and consumption, which means that while the service is being produced, it's most probably at the same time that it is being consumed, is why the 7 P's of service marketing are so important. For instance, like I spoke about education. Let's say I'm delivering this webinar to you right now. I'm the producer and you're the consumer. You're consuming it while it is in the process of production. So we will take the 7 P's one at a time, and then we will apply it to education. Now, the first P of the service marketing mix and the traditional marketing mix is product. Now, in the case of services, like I just told you, that the product is not tangible. It is intangible. Because of the fact that it is intangible, it means that there are so many different diverse ways in which people would like to consume this product, this service, basically. Then it also means that there are different ways in which it needs to be produced and for it to reach the consumer so that the consumer satisfaction is at its peak. Now, because there is such a great scope of customizing these services, we need to consider every single customer and their requirements before even we actually go into providing them the service. The problem that arises is that if you're customizing too much, what would probably happen is that you would be compromising on the service of quality. Again, you know that if there's a college or university where there are hundreds and thousands of students and few teachers, or let's say there is a very small amount of faculty, what would eventually happen would be that there would be a compromise in the service. So, which is something that when you have to promote a product, you need to ensure that there is a particular standard that is maintained for the provision of the service. Therefore, as the last point states, the particular care has to be taken in designing the way that the services are offered. We then move on to the next P, which is price. Now, price means simply, basically, in general terms, when you go and buy a product from the market, you pay a price for it. When you buy a service, you pay a price for it. On the producer side, it's a very difficult decision to set a price for a service. Why? Because you do not have the different costs of production involved for a product. In a product, you know that, okay, I've spent up so much of labor, so much on overhead costs, and so much of raw material. And you aggregate that, and then you put up, a certain profit margin on it, and you set the price for selling the product in the market. But obviously, for the services, it is difficult because even though the labor costs and overhead costs are there, there is the cost of the service provision and the quality of the service that needs to be considered as well. So when you see a university will not just charge for the overhead costs, but also obviously the environment that they're providing to the students, the quality of education that they are providing, etc. If I quote another example, a restaurant. When you go to a restaurant, you do not just pay for the food, you also pay for the ambience. So just like that, in the education services, there has to be a certain standard and there has to be a certain quality of education that is imparted. But is it a high quality or a low quality? It is difficult to set a price based on a service because it is not so tangible. The next P is place. Basically, where is the service being provided? Now, the service should be provided in such a place where it is not only easily accessible to the consumer, but it is also convenient for them to access that service so that they are left with a good experience. Now, again, if the producer does not take care of where they're providing the service, what is going to happen is they may, let's say, set up a college or a university in a far-flung area where there might not be so much of density of population. Now, if that happens, it may be convenient for the people living there, but for the people coming from the cities, it may not be that convenient. So you see that the place is of pivotal importance and it plays an important role because it will affect the overall consumer taste for the service, right? We then move on to the next P, which is promotion. Now, promotion generally means people understand it as advertising. Advertising is just one component of promotion. Promotion basically encompasses many different aspects, such as discount offers, such as sponsorship and different other offers that you may see in different marketplaces. And what is the purpose for them in the traditional mix? The purpose is to create a brand loyalty. Similarly, the services sector would also want to create a certain brand loyalty of the customers for their product. Why would they want to do that? Because there are so many different people offering so many identical services that obviously they want their service to set apart from many different other services, so that not only do people, new customers or new sales sucker, new people access the service, but also the ones who have already tried the service, they get a good experience and they would be willing to try the service again and again. So as the first bullet point states, brand loyalty is, since a service offering can be easily replicated, promotion becomes crucial in differentiating a service offering in the mind of the consumer. Now, when there are so many different services and they're all providing the same thing, a consumer has many different options to employ and to satisfy themselves with. Brand loyalty, like I said, will set the business apart or will set the particular service apart from all the others, so that they would be able to be, as the word says, or as the word is itself, loyal to that certain brand. Now, this would attract new market segments. Segment is a small proportion of the entire market. So when we talk about a market segment, we're talking about the proportion of sales from the entire market. So the businesses would want to attract new market segments to their particular services, so that they again can get a greater revenue as compared to the other service providers. People. Now, this is the extended marketing mix, right? If we talk about people, what does it mean? Now, the people, literally, it means the people that work within an organization. The employees, it's frontline workers. Now, you would think, but that's very much similar to a traditional marketing mix. Yes, it is. But under services, you know that the people who are employed for providing the services, the people who deal with the customers, play the most important role in accessing the, or in promoting the business to the customers. Therefore, we say that it's a defining factor. This is the people are the ones who will actually ensure that the customers either keep on coming or run away from the business. And obviously, since nobody wants people to run away from their business, they would employ the best people possible. Now, since the people or the employee workforce, the frontline workers basically, play such a crucial role, it is very important that our and the organization culture. You know that Apple are important that the business or service business treat the people that work with the customers in the best possible way. And how do they do that? By ensuring that the people that they have employed are actually the best people for that particular service. And again, how do you do that? By developing the personnel, by making sure that you're providing the customer service personnel with the resources in terms of training, in terms of interpersonal skills, to ensure that they are able to not only convey what the business culture is to the consumers, the fact that they are willing and competitive enough to do the best job possible, and the fact that they would not only just satisfy customers, but also retain customers for a perfectly customer satisfied experience. And so that again, you capture those people and make them loyal to your particular service. We then move on to process. Now, what does the term process mean? process is the way in which anything takes place, right? So the process under extended marketing mix is the way in which a service is delivered to the end customer. And how is that done? By marketing the service. What you do, you ensure that not only is a good standard of service provided once, but every single time that the customer comes back to the company, to the business, you're providing them the repeatedly the same high standard quality of service. It may have occurred with you many times that you've tried out a service, you liked it, you use it, and then after a certain period of time, you say, I think they've just, you know, messed up with the services. We don't want to continue with them anymore. And what happens? You will, at that point, think about a competitor service, and you would probably go and try that out, which is what businesses don't want. Therefore, they need to ensure that the high quality standards are maintained, even in services which are imparted to the customers. Now, in a lot of places, basically, because this is so important, they make a kind of a blueprint, which is sort of, you could say, a draft, or the SOP, standard operating procedures, for people to follow. And people would have to follow those when they are interacting with the customers. If you call up certain companies, you hear the CSRs, and if you call them 100 times, like me, having to call certain services a billion times in a year, you tend to recognize the same phrases, the same words, the same responses that they give to certain queries. And what happens is that you actually learn what they're about to say to you. Now, why does that happen? Because for the company, they need to ensure standardized services. So I hope you do understand why the process part is important. Before we move on, and let's now move on to the physical environment. Now, this is pretty easy, and it's quite self-explanatory. The physical environment literally means what is physically around you. Again, the facilities that are being provided along with the service. Now, you don't really just want, let's say if you want a service, you don't really just look at the service, but you would also look at the personnel, and which is why they're giving you the service. And then, but you also see the environment in which the service is provided to you. So therefore, we say here that the physical environment incorporates certain tangible elements into their offering to enhance customer experience. Now, to think about that, in the educational sector, compare a public school with a private school. Just think for a second about the services that are provided and the infrastructure that you see in a public school as compared to a private school. The answer tells you the very reason why private schools are much more popular than public schools in most of the countries of the world, because obviously the facilities that are provided along with the service are very, very important. For instance, if you're providing education, you having a good clean classroom, maybe having multimedia within the classrooms, those are the physical environment, right? Those are important because they go along to make or to complete the entire marketing mix. And this is obviously another extension of the traditional marketing mix. And therefore, the physical environment becomes a very crucial factor as well as the other two components to make a proper, a complete marketing mix. Now, service marketing is impacted by changes in the external environment, which would make certain existing practices outdated and require the redesign of fundamental processes. Now, there are different ways in which that could happen, like government policies, social changes, business trends, advances in information technology, and internationalization. Now, you can so vividly see that in today's world, the external environment has had a very, very critical impact on education and its service marketing. Not just education, but also on so many different products and so many different services. What has happened is that the entire way in which education is being provided has changed. People have moved from physical classroom teaching to online teaching. do you not see what the great amount, what a great change has occurred in the way that this service is delivered? And what is the reason? Now, I'm not going to go into the each of the bulleted points in detail because it's a short webinar. So for this, you can access our courses on the International Online Open University. There are many different courses and many different questions that you may have answered. If you access the courses there, you can go check out our website or our YouTube pages, and you will see that there would be a lot more information. And inshallah, if you join the courses, then obviously you can get a more expansive idea about the different products. Now, the impact, the performance is measured for a certain service is by seeing that whether there is a reduction in the amount, in the number of times there is a service failure, whether it has increased in productivity, or whether there is increased customer satisfaction or not. Once again, an area that I'm not going to delve into too much because right now I want to go on to discussing the impact of Corona on or COVID-19 on education service marketing, but just giving you a certain idea, right? Okay, now if you see the impact of Corona on education service marketing, like I just discussed, the first one that comes to you right at the top of your head is the fact that there is greater use of distance learning. You see that people are using online tools and using those to access education. Furthermore, initially, you know that in a lot of places, actually did not fully attain degrees in certain classroom settings as much as they did the distance learning. Distance learning, in fact, a degree obtained through distance learning is not even credited in many places. They do not accept it. And it becomes very difficult for those people who would like to continue with their academics from a distance learning program to a physical learning program. But now with this sudden change because of this pandemic that spread, you see that not only is the greater use, but also greater acceptability of distance learning programs. And therefore you see that people are rushing to different softwares online in order to acquire knowledge. Now this year you see is, we know that we have Zoom, we have Microsoft Teams, we have Google Meet, and we have many other softwares that are available for free. And then you can have extra services if you pay for them. Now, what has happened is that in a lot of educational services, the way that they have to now sell their service or to get the service to reach the customers requires less teachers. Now, what do you see a direct impact on? The people. Which P is it affecting? The people part, right? Can you guess what does the greater use of automation, how does that impact? Which P does that impact? Yes, think. Very good. Process, right? The fact that you're actually using more automation means that the process of imparting knowledge has changed. Another thing that has happened is, like we discussed earlier on, that the companies need to ensure that the teachers develop their skills. See, this is the people part again. The teachers had to learn many new skills. Imagine we're not just talking about education in developed areas, but less developed areas as well, right? Areas that really don't have access to proper internet services, people who may not be aware of different certifications or even different softwares. Everywhere in the world, people have had to change the way in which education took place if they are already aware of the softwares, if they're already aware of the different certifications that are there, their people have used those skills. In certain areas, again, you see a different type of distance learning. What is that? The process part has changed, where, let's say, in a less developed country like Pakistan, there is a channel which shows within the school timings that were followed earlier on, the same subjects that were being imparted to students at different time slots. So you see, what has happened because of this corona is that the entire process of the service marketing has changed. There's a greater need for the VLEs. VLEs are virtual learning experts, people who are obviously very, very savvy in the way that softwares and courses need to be developed online and how they need to be imparted, consumer engagement. And then you see that there are more flexible timings. This is one thing that is very, very attractive to a lot of people. The fact that instead of going and working in a place from, let's say, 9 to 5, you can now work from home, and a lot of places are now accepting flexible timings. So what is happening is that people are probably more productive now. In a lot of places, they're having to, they're being required to put in extra hours as well, because of which a lot of people are not really very happy. But what has happened is that this has actually been able to take the entire service marketing to a different level. Okay. We then move on to our next slide. Continuing with the impact of Corona on education service marketing, we see that the schools now, or the colleges or the universities now, are more aware of providing a good physical environment to the students and the teachers. They need to be more aware of more hygienic methods. For instance, the entire process has changed how the colleges, the universities have to provide hand sanitizers, ensure that there is running water in the toilets, or, hand washing solutions. You know that a lot of places don't even have that, especially the less developed economies. So that's another impact of Corona on the education service marketing. Then again, enabling social distancing within the physical space. Now, when the educational institutions reopen, as they have started reopening in many places, the service marketing would be successful only if they can ensure a social distancing between the physical space within the classrooms. Now, where we had certain institutions where students were packed in a classroom like sardines in a tin, now they would change. If they don't, there is a lack of having lost their market segment. And because of this, because if they are successful and they do a good job, that from word of mouth is helping them to market themselves. And obviously, people who are still fearful of this disease would flock to those places where the hygiene standards and the safety standards are met, the SOPs are met. Again, then you see we're running out a little bit of time, so I'm going to speed up a little bit. We see that the fee structures have had to change. Now, the fees are a source of revenue for the schools, which are obviously a business providing service. What has happened is that a lot of these businesses had to change the pricing of their services. And what you see, obviously the overhead costs are cut down, the physical employee costs have been cut down because a lot of people have let go of their employees, sadly so, but it has happened. And so what has happened? Their pricing has to change. And in these days where the parents are unable to earn a lot, there you see that people are more they're more attracted to places which would give them a better fee structure. So a lot of places have started waiving off their admission fees, especially because admissions would now be taking online, given again that the results for the colleges have just come out for A-levels, etc. So you see that there are fee payments which are online, there's selection which is online, and so forth. And then you see that in order to attract the customers, where there were fewer scholarships offered before, now there are a lot more scholarships offered. So we then... what I would like to, before I close this, just want to tell you, and before I move on to the Q&A session, would want you to know that if you want to join the IOU program, there's a lot more that you can learn about the services marketing. You can connect with us on our Facebook page, and do remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You could get answers like what are the pre-purchase, service encounter, and post-encounter stages, and their impacts in service marketing. How should the services be distributed? How do businesses enter the cycle of failure, mediocrity, and success? What are the different serve-qual or service qualities that are there for services, etc.? So before I end this, I would like to open the page for question and answers. And I would like to see, we have a few minutes, if there are any questions that are coming. If not, then we will just close the session.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Sister Salima Musharraf, for your presentation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put khair and barakah in your presentation. And to all the people who took time out and listened to the presentation, if you have any questions, you're requested to please put it forward in the YouTube live chat. And of course, if there are no questions, we will be wrapping up the session. And while you people figure out if you have any questions or not, this is a very important topic that Sister Salima Musharraf has made a presentation on. If you see, the entire service sector is going to change. And the best part of the service sector is that while we're talking about shifting of the entire processes from brick and mortar setup to a digital setup, at the same time, you will have sectors like the airport industry. You will have service sector like the medical facilities, the hospitals, the nursing homes. The form of services offered by them would also change. You can't digitize a lot of airport facilities, right? You can't ask people to digitally travel from one place to the other. They still need to physically come in contact. Service points are there. But we will see how diverse and how robust the whole system is going to get going forward from here on. So we're going to see all of that, inshallah ta'ala, in the coming few days and weeks and years. And as I was making a presentation last week, and I mentioned to all of you who joined, that any one of us who thinks that this is a temporary phenomena and we will soon come out of COVID and things will go back to normal, this is the new normal. We need to come to terms with reality. The reality is what we are living right now. This impact is going to be bringing about new changes in our system. Okay, I'll quickly take a couple of questions which have come in. There is a question from Farah Ahmed. She wants to know, which are the skills that should be promoted in order to increase marketability of business courses? Now, I am not clear what she means here by business courses, but if I assume that to mean educational courses, so Sister Salima, she wants to know, in order to promote business programs, business courses, which are the skills which will be more important in the current market setup, you know, with the COVID and everything, which are the more important skills according to you? Thank you so much.
The different skills we being able to use pedagogy of teaching is very important. Okay, so you need to ensure basically you have different skills of using the softwares, the business courses that that are most important. I hope answer what you want to know. Basically, the different skills that help individuals to adopt the knowledge.
Okay. We're unfortunately not able to hear you clearly, Sister Salima.
Okay, I'll just repeat myself. What I was saying was that for those courses, if I'm understanding the question correctly, and you're talking about what skills are necessary for the promotion of business courses, right? Obviously, you need to have the most important fact, according to me, would be technology. You would have to be able to promote the technology that is required imparting education and be able to apply it to the different levels of education that are being imparted. You have answered the question?
Yeah, thank you so much. So Sister Salima has told us that the most important thing going forward will be the use of technology. So it's extremely important that we equip ourselves better in handling technology, and probably courses which are dealing with technology will have a very important role going forward. Okay, there is another question, which is on what's the best and the cheapest market platform to use for a startup business. This particular question, I will not take it up because I think this is more appropriate for what Mr. Abdul Rahim will be doing on the 12th of September. On the 12th of September, we have another webinar, which will come with Mr. Abdul Rahim. He will be talking about startups. And I think that will be a more appropriate question to address to him. There's another clarification, Sister Salima, just in case you might want to provide. The lady who asked the previous question, she says when she mentioned business courses, she was referring to business studies, from business studies perspective. So what are the important services? So I think technology certainly is one of the most important thing, like you rightly mentioned.
Yes, I think we have answered the question.
Okay. All right, fair enough. There's another quick question, though I don't know whether this falls under service or not, but she wants to know about business analysis and evaluation. Evaluating of businesses, the way the current businesses are working, there will be further evaluation and analysis which will be done. So what's your view on that? Do you think, do you have any opinion on this?
Well, obviously, all businesses would have to evaluate and analyze themselves, and they have had to do that. Those who have been able to analyze and evaluate themselves and then obviously made taken remedial measures to change their processes are the ones that are successful. So it's not an option. It's not something that businesses may have to consider. They have to consider it, because given the external environment, as we discussed it, there are so many rapid and crucial changes that any business that does not analyze and evaluate themselves according to these factors would actually be left out of the race.
Okay, thank you so much for that. I think I'll take one more question and then we will wrap up. We just have another couple of minutes. Is there any particular virtual platform or online platform where people can go and visit and study to build their skills, the ones which you're talking of, like technology, etc.?
Yes, there are many different websites offering such courses, like Coursera, Coursera. If you search online, there are many, many different, multiple people and organizations that are helping students and even individuals, housewives, etc., everyone to develop their skills. These particularly, like Coursera, has a lot of free courses to offer.
Okay, thank you so much. Barakallahu fiki for your time and for answering all the questions. There's another question and I will answer that question. The lady wants to know, are you a faculty? Yes, Sister Salima Musharraf is a faculty in the Department of the Business Administration. She teaches the course Education Service Marketing. And I must also invite all of those who are listening to visit the IOU website. The website detail is right up on your screen and you can join the business administration program. We have a series of programs to offer. We have courses on degree, which is a four-year program. We have an associate degree program, which is a two-year program. We also have certificate programs, which run for a year. You're invited to join the program. I'm the head of the Department for the Business Administration, Mansoor Danish, and I'm thankful to Ms. Salima Musharraf, who took time out to join the session today and be part of it. Thank you so much, Sister Salima. I would like you to have the last word and conclude the session. Barakallahu feekum.
And yes, I just like the Mansoor has mentioned, you must all visit courses. Many of you could relate to it. So we hope to see you there, inshallah ta'ala. And if you have any other questions, you can leave them in the chat box and maybe we can answer them later for you. With that, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.